glad you're here today at CLC. If this is your first time today, thank you for joining us. We're very, very stoked that you're here. We started a new series a couple weeks back that we've called Offensive Parenting. And if you weren't here for the first couple weeks, let me give you just a key couple ideas to bring you up to speed to talk about what we're going to talk about today. We proposed this kind of concept the first week. How many of you out there that are parents would like to parent for the best results in your child? Raise your hand up. If your hand's not raised and you're a parent, we need to talk after church. You know what I'm saying? Okay? All right, so here's what we suggested, that if that is your goal, that is your desire to parent for the best results in your children, then we suggested that you consider looking at how God parents us. Because over and over in Scripture, you're going to see stories and you're going to see illustrations of God being a father and we as children of His, believers in Jesus, Christians, born again believer, whatever you call yourself, okay, then we are His children. When we enter into a relationship with God, we are now a son of God or a daughter of God. So we suggested that if you really want to parent for the best results in your children, then you take a look at what God does and how God parents. Because I think you're going to find this over and over in Scripture, God parents extremely offensively. Offensively in nature. What I mean by that is it is highly proactive. So basically the way that God parents is, I'm going to get out ahead of my kids, and I'm going to find out what they need to know before they even need it themselves. I'm going to get them ready for what's coming instead of doing what culture is teaching me, and that is to defensively parent, and that is to react in the moment whenever the bad happens and try to, you know, keep it any bloodshed from happening in that moment. So defensively style parenting is the way that culture is teaching you. You need to keep your kids safe and happy and unprepared for what the future holds. But the reality is the future is coming no matter what. So why don't you prepare them for that now? All right, that's what we're talking about. So we also learned this in that first week. Kind of the key idea was offensive parenting is really about preparing rather than protecting. It's more about preparing rather than protecting. We asked you a couple questions that are legitimate questions, and how you answer them will completely dictate on how you actually will parent yourself, whether it's offensively or defensively. So this is a huge question, and how you answer it, it's a big deal. Are you raising a child, or are you preparing a future adult? Are you raising a child or are you preparing a future adult? What are you doing right now that's anticipating what they need to know before the need ever comes? In other words, what are you doing now that's preparing them for then? Those are out of the gate. Then last week we talked to you about the three primary roles that you play in offensive parenting when it comes to discipline in your home. And those roles were very simple. The first role was a groundskeeper. As a mom and dad, you play the groundskeeper role. This is the most unsung area of parenting, but this is where we define the rules and boundaries. And we ask these questions. Have you ever sat down with your husband or your wife and said, do we even have a clearly marked field of play? Do our kids even know what they can do or what they can't do, what's right or what's wrong? Because if we don't, then anarchy and chaos is going to go crazy. And they're going to get really frustrated with us when we throw a flag, which is the next role of parenting and discipline, because they don't know that that was even out of bounds, or they didn't know that that was a foul. So you've got to clearly define the field of play. The second role, which is kind of what I just alluded to, is that of referee. This is where we enforce the rules and boundaries. This is the hardest part of parenting today, because if you're a defensive parent, then all you're about is keeping your children safe and happy, and you don't ever want to make them mad at you, right? And what did I say last week in this particular area? That your job is not to be your child's friend. You're not called to be their friend. You're called to be their parent. I even added this just for a freebie. If your kids don't hate you at least once in life, you're not doing your job. So if they go out of bounds because you've clearly marked a field of play and you've thrown the flag, then enforce the penalty. Then enforce the penalty. You should already know, hey, listen, you can't go out and drink, or that's going to be this, or this, that, whatever it is. You know what it is, you throw the flag, and you be consistent with it. And then the last one, which is probably the most neglected area of parenting, in offensive parenting with discipline, is that of a coach. This is where we come alongside and teach and train the rules and boundaries. This usually follows when a violation has happened or a penalty has been thrown. Here's what we said last week. You don't dwell on the moment anymore. They've already violated you. You've thrown the flag. They know what the penalty is. So now use that moment to teach them what? To be better at it later on in life. You can go back, check out those messages if you want, but that's the first 2 weeks in a recap. So here's the target for today. If there was one issue, one central issue, and I kind of had to pick and choose this to nail it down for us today, that we could tackle or take on effectively with our offensive parenting style, one thing that when our kids leave our homes, we can ensure that they take with them. I believe wholeheartedly that this is the issue that we must tackle, the issue of honor. All right? Specifically speaking, the issue of honor towards authority. I believe this must take center stage. I believe this is one of the major, major contributing factors to our culture and society today. There is a serious lack of honor. And while we want to point fingers at who's to blame today, why don't you go back home and look in a mirror, because it's the parents who are to blame. It's us. Let me just ask for fun today, just to get us started on the right foot. How many of you here today, at least one time when you were back as a kid, heard your mom say something like this? Because I told you to. That's why. Yeah. Okay, everybody. Right. How many of you maybe heard your dad say something like this? Because I'm your dad, that's why. Right? My son is raising his hand on the front row. Nice. Thank you. You're validating my point today, Isaac. I appreciate that. Because I said so. Really? You know what it was like when you were a kid, right? You thought about that. And if we're all being honest today, in those moments, we probably said something like this under our breath, of course. That's got to be the absolute stupidest answer I have ever heard in my life. And yes, that's bad grammar and bad English, but I don't care. I got the mic. Let's just be real here. When we heard our parents say, because I said so, we thought that answer is ridiculous. And then in response to that, I can remember as a teenager when I would hear my mom or dad say that, here's what I committed to. This was probably like a topic of conversation before Ginger and I even got married. Here's one thing that we're for sure not going to do. I will never, ever, ever give that answer to my kids. Right? And I get it, because it was deeply confusing. It was deeply frustrating to, in that moment, hear those words, because I said so. I hated that. I mean, couldn't my dad have just said something like this? I don't really have an answer right now. Or maybe something like, I'm not sure why at this moment. Or I don't really have an explanation for it. Something along those lines. I think that would have been easier of a pill to swallow for me. There's no doubt about that. But here's what I want to propose. Just think about this. Just think about how radical of a concept this might be. Now that you're all parents today, right? What if in the moment that you find yourself saying, because I told you to, or because I'm your parent, or because I said so, maybe that moment was actually intended to mean something like this. Because I'm your father, because I'm your mother, there is a minimum level of honor that that position requires of you. Sure. Sure, I could explain to you why you need to take out the trash before you go watch cartoons. I could. I could also tell you why you need to do the dishes before you want to go swim. I could also share with you why you need to do your homework before you want to go ride your bike. I could do that, but here's the deal. Chances are at the end of the day, your little 9-year-old sinner's heart will probably still disagree with me anyway, even if I wasted my breath to explain it to you. So maybe those moments were actually about this, not whether you agreed with me, not whether you think it's fair, not whether you think we should take a vote. They were maybe, just maybe this. Because I am your mother, I am your father, that role comes with a minimum level of honor and respect. I'm serious, folks. Just wrap your brains around this for a second. What if that understanding, because I'm your mother, because I'm your father, what if that, by the very nature of that position that we have as our kids' parents, requires honor from our children? And what if, I know this is crazy radical because I'm throwing everybody off, you know, kilter today. What if I were here today to suggest to you and say, that might just be one of the greatest lessons that you could ever teach your children. Here's why the issue of honor is so vital in our children's lives today. Please don't miss this. I promise you, and I've said this repeatedly throughout this series, there will come a moment after your kids are gone in which our children will encounter this all by themselves. You won't be there to teach this to them anymore. You won't be there to share what this means anymore. They'll be at college, and their friends will be heading off to parties. They'll be in their professional life, and their sales partner will be lying to get the contract. They'll be living in neighborhoods where multiple men are having relationships outside of their marriages with multiple women. And in that moment, I guarantee you, they will encounter Scripture. They will encounter Scripture. And they might say something like this, because you and I have probably said this a repeated amount of times. When we kind of have that feeling of, I don't think this is right, but, you know, let me double check, and we read it. And we say things like this. You know, I don't think God understood what he was thinking when he wrote this verse. You know, God didn't actually get what was going on in life for me right now when he said this. You know, God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand the pressure I'm under in this moment when he wrote that. Yeah, God doesn't understand anything outside of putting the weight of the world of sin of mankind on his shoulders. So he doesn't understand pressure at all. But we've all said that, and our kids are going to say that. But this is so huge. Please don't miss this, moms and dads. In that moment, when that happens for your kids, you and I as parents will have to have prepared our children to have become prepared adults and to hopefully respond with something that sounds like this. I know. Man, I know. That thing that I'm doing, it's so fun, and that's because Pastor Josh said sin is fun, but it's only fun for a season, but I get it. It's so much fun. And I do hate that verse that says that this is wrong. I hate that verse. I don't like the answer, but, my vote doesn't count because God said so. Because God said so. This is so huge. This is so huge. The most important lesson that you and I may end up ever teaching our children is the lesson that we can help them navigate through the toughest moments in your life, which is simply this. It's simply this. When somebody who is in spiritual authority says so, you do it. Period. You do it. You do it. Now, you know why this is so hard today, right? Because many of us in our lives have encountered many authoritative leaders in our lives, various levels, but even on a global stage where it's just highlighted for the world to see, that have demonstrated this leadership thing poorly. They really have. For example, past presidents, Watergate, I didn't do it. Right? Inappropriate relationships with White House staff, I didn't do it. Only to find out a few days later, they did it. Right? And not only that, we've watched televangelists proclaim that I'm a believer in Jesus, which they may be. But they've demonstrated things so poorly in their lives as leaders in our lives, and now they devastate the church and they cast this cloud of doubt over the name of Jesus. We've watched corporate leaders, millionaires, engage in corrupt activity where they cook the books. I mean, seriously, go home today. Turn on the television. Within minutes, you will find bad leadership. Within minutes. And that ongoing culture example is doing nothing more than just shoving this down our throats as well as our kids. No. You don't actually have to trust the leader until the leader has earned your trust. That's the message. That's the message that's out there. And it just so happens that this seems to be the way that many parents are defensively parenting, and they're adapting this kind of lifestyle. I get it. I need to earn that trust with you in order for you to do that. Listen, this is the message today about leadership. Leaders need to earn leadership. And because of that idea, this is what you're seeing in your homes today. Your 9-year-old daughter comes to you and says, hey, listen, Dad, wait a minute. You're way off base here. You haven't had enough time in life with me yet. So I don't completely trust you yet. Or moms, your 16-year-old son comes to you and says, I think you're absolutely cuckoo. You're nuts. This is really jacked up, and you're not being fair right here, Mom. Who proclaimed you to be judge of my life? After all, it's my life. You are really, really old, like 38. You're old. Therefore, I don't trust your leadership. Sounds pretty absurd, but some of you are like, dude, that kind of sounds like my house. Please hear this today, friends. One of the greatest lessons that you could ever, ever, ever teach your child today is positional leadership. It's positional leadership. In other words, it kind of sounds like this. I will honor because you are my dad. I will honor because you are my mom. I will honor because you are my papa. I will honor because you are my nana. I will honor just simply because you're my teacher. I will honor because you are my coach. This one's gonna be hard. I will honor because you are the police officer. I won't go there. Seriously, parents, what if one of the most important lessons that you ever teach your children is to honor those in authority? So right about now, some of you are thinking this. That sounds good, Josh. I like that. Do you mind coming over and doing our family devotions tonight? What does that honor? What does that look like? I appreciate you asking and thinking that, you know, conspicuously. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 and let me show you. Let me start here. Romans chapter 13. All right? Little background just so you understand what's happening here. Before Paul shares this, the Christians at that time, they're living under Roman government rule. The Romans are rejecting Christianity. And in just a few short years, you will read in history that it will now begin to introduce Christian martyrdom, which basically means they're going to start killing followers of Jesus. So in essence, the government that is over them, they have done nothing to earn the respect of the Christians. Nothing. And this kind of dispels the whole leaders need to earn my respect idea. Just blows your thoughts out of the water, okay? Mine too. Romans 13, 1 through 2. Paul says this, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Let me fill in the blanks for you. That means whether they're Democrat, Republican, or liberal. Libertarian, sorry. Is that right? Libertarian. Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities. For, this is why we do this. And this is what, I'm giving you a little insight to kind of, you know, in the coming election year. Regardless of what may happen, okay, that you don't have to panic, freak out, and go nuts. Oh, I can't believe that person got elected president, okay? All right, first of all, we're living in the end times. We have been ever since Jesus died, okay? And now it's just becoming more and more relevant. But you don't have to freak out, all right? We're just living and seeing some of the scriptures come alive in our lives right now. But you don't need to freak out. Here's why. Paul starts off by saying, everybody must submit himself to the governing authorities. Why? Why do we need to do that? Because there's no authority except that which God has established. No, I got one amen. Braxton, appreciate that. Listen. This is what I'm talking about right here, that you don't need to freak out of who gets elected president. Right? Because God allows it. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you follow God first and foremost. So you don't need to fear man. You need to fear God more than anything else. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Duh, doofus, dork. I filled in the blanks. It's my passage, my version once again. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Huh? What are you saying? And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And right about now is when you're like, I don't think God knew what was happening in our country right now when he wrote this or had Paul say this. I don't think he understands that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Christians are about ready to be killed in the streets for claiming the fame of Jesus Christ. It's a whole lot worse then than it is now. And Paul is saying, Hey, listen, I get it, he says. I get it. It's great when a leader actually earns your right of respect. But you get that's not a requirement, right? You get that. Sometimes you and I just honor simply because of their position. Right here is where God is telling us to instill within the lives of our children this principle. You say something like this to, listen, look, son of mine, daughter of mine, you honor me as your mom and dad because someday, here's what I know that you don't know, I won't be in the room anymore. And because someday you're going to face a critical moment in your life and you're going to be asked to honor God in that moment simply because he's God. And if you haven't learned this lesson, honor because I said so, in your life yet, you will fail miserably in that moment. And right there and then, you will change the trajectory of your life that God has planned for you in that moment. So son, so daughter, that is why I will always, always, always require because I said so. Because I promise you, you will understand at some point in time. Because I am your dad, and because I am your mom, that really is an answer. That really is an answer. So, with that said, here's the question. How do we instill honor in our children? How do we do it? Proverbs 1:7, one of my favorite verses. Proverbs 1:7, if you want to go there, that's cool. It's on the screen. Ta-da, there we go. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do your kids like for you to discipline them? Raise your hand. Yeah, my son, he's lining up all the time. Dad, give me a spanking. You know what I'm saying? Dad, please ground me next week. No. None of them do it. Why? Because I've said this before. Your kids are fools. My kids are fools. We were fools when we were kids. How do you know that? Why are you so mean to my kids and to your kids? Because the Bible says so. Folly is bound in the heart of a child. Your kids are dumb. You were dumb when you were a kid. Some of you are still big kids and you're still dumb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, it's very important that you don't hear what I'm not saying right here in this passage. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Let me ask you all today. How many of you have at least, you've known Jesus for at least a significant period of time in your life or long enough to realize that if you don't fear God and obey him, you're going to get a spiritual spanking? Raise your hand up high. Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, that's me. Right here, double hands. You realize that, okay? You realize that. Well, what God is essentially saying in this passage is this. When you disobey, you're going to get spanked. So if this is true, then it has to be true as well in parenting. Don't miss this. If fearing the Lord is the beginning conversation, then fearing my parents is the beginning of parenting. Make sense? It has to mean this. Because we are kind of that authority figure that God has placed in their life to teach them for what life's going to be like when we're no longer in the room. Getting them ready for when God overcomes and succumbs us and becomes that big time God and Father in their life. We are kind of that little God in their life in this moment. And right about now, some of us are thinking this. Well, hold on just a second, okay? I'm not sure, Josh, that I want my kids fearing me. Fearing me. And if that's you today, then I can promise you this. Your child will never learn honor. Now, I'm not sitting here like doing, walking up to my son like doing like this and he backs off, right? That's not the kind of fear, right? I'm talking about a healthy fear. A healthy understanding that if you keep screwing up, God's gonna spank you. He won't let you keep going. He says it in scripture. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he's gonna reap. If you keep doing it and you think you're getting away with it, eventually God's gonna bust you over the side of your head. That's what we're talking about here. There's a healthy fear. I don't have a lot of fears in my life. But one thing that brings a very, very healthy fear is taking Caleb to the Grand Canyon. I've said this before. My Caleb, 14-year-old little boy. All right, he has special needs. Cornelia de Lange syndrome is kind of similar to Down syndrome. He's 14. He acts like he's 4. Listen, I don't have a fear of heights. I used to climb all over cliffs on Table Rock Lake as a 7-year-old by myself where my parents weren't even around. Okay? I'm cool with that. But I have a healthy fear for taking Caleb to the Grand Canyon. Because I have been to the Grand Canyon, and there are places where you say, there should be a fence right there. And Caleb doesn't have a clue. And he would wander over there while my other son's out there on the ledge, like swinging his legs. Yeah, Dad. I have a healthy fear of that. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about this. It means this. The beginning of understanding is to fear the Lord. This is what that means. Real understanding comes from fearing the consequences. Now you know, I just enlightened you why your kids do dumb things. They don't fear the consequences. That's why we did dumb things. We don't have wisdom. Our kids don't have wisdom. That will preach. And that's not legalism. That's not conservatism. That's biblicalism. just look at it from this perspective today. When we don't land this honor conversation with our kids, here's what happens. I found it happening with me many times. We become threatening and repeating parents. And you know what that looks like, right? Here's what that looks like in a nutshell. I'm going to tell you to do something, but I'm never going to back it up. Never going to back it up. Some of you are like, I don't understand. Let me break it down for you this way. You and little Tommy, mama, you and little Tommy go to the grocery store. Tommy cries out in the checkout lane, Mom, 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 I want a pack of gum. I want a pack of gum. And you say, no, Tommy, not today. Not today. As you're pulling four carts, you know, down through the lane. You and Tommy. Mama, I want a pack of gum. Mama, I want a pack of gum. No, Tommy. Mommy said no. There's your futile attempt at instilling honor. Right there. That's basically where it stops. But it's a little too late because now Tommy screams bloody murder. So here's what you do. Tommy, stop that right now, or mommy's gonna count to five. One, right? Two. Now, can I just call time out here? I kind of briefly touched on this last week. Can I just pause right here for any of my counting parents that are out there to share this with you? Why? Why? First of all, why? Why? Why would you give your child five more seconds to dishonor you or disobey you? You're laughing, I'm not. Why? So you start counting, one, two, get, how many seconds do you think it's gonna take for Tommy to stop screaming? How many seconds, right? All the way to five, but you don't even get there. One, two, two and a quarter, two and a half. And by this time, he's kicking, floundering on the ground. You grab the pack of gum, you shove it to him and say, shut up, kid. To avoid any more public humiliation, you give in. Because you're in a public environment, you're worried about what people think. More about than what God thinks. Let me ask you an honest question right here in that moment. Honest. Who won that battle? You know how that affects parenting, right? Now, every day begins to become a competition or a contest. Who's going to win today? Who's going to win today? How many more times can I beat my dad or beat my mom with my will versus their will? And Tommy's only eight. You're only a few years away from a teenager. Gosh, can't you just wait for those contests? Here's my point. Chances are a confusing way to grow a child. They are. Because it sets you up for a constant war with your kids. Please get this idea. Here's what it's teaching your kids. Later in life, when you're no longer in the room, when it's just God and them, it teaches them. This is what it teaches them. You're seeing it today. It teaches them to be gamblers with his authority. It teaches them to be gamblers with his authority. This concept of parenting teaches your kids that someday when they leave the house and they enter into the real world, that this will be their thought process. I can get away with disobedience with any authority in my life for a period of time. I just have to wait, or I just have to get that authority figure that's in my life in that moment not too ticked off. Not too ticked off. So let me just ask you right here. How you think that relationship with God is going to look like for them later on in life? How? If that's what you're setting them up for. How's that going to look for them later on in life when they encounter this and you're no longer in the room and they think, I can gamble with him a little bit. I can play Russian roulette with God. I can get away with this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Guys, this is a now and then conversation. This is highly offensive parenting. This is a what you're teaching them now that will prepare them for then. And how does that look? How many times do your kids get to disobey this before it actually hurts? That's what it is. I couldn't be more serious today. You and I need to be teaching our kids that disobedience is not worth the consequences. The question is, are you? Are you doing that? It all boils down to this in particular. It all boils down to this. I lost my place. Hold on. It all boils down to this. One of the first steps in teaching your kids honor is to teach them first-time obedience. First-time obedience. All right? Might sound something like this. Look, mom and dad said no, which means the answer is no, right? And if you willingly go and do the opposite, you're going to get spanked. you're going to get disciplined. You're going to get a consequence. So some of us are still wondering, why do we parent this way? Because, guys, one day when you hand them off to God, I promise you, you want them to get God's no the first time. I promise you, you want them to get God's no the first time. God, I get it. You said no, which means the answer is no, unfortunately. It doesn't mean maybe. It doesn't mean we'll see. It means no, I get it, because the consequence isn't worth dishonoring you. So how do we parent this way? How do we accomplish this? The answer is simple. The answer is simple. And I know it sounds easier than done. Trust me, I know that. Eliminate. Do your best now to eliminate part-time obedience. Eliminate part-time obedience and start enforcing first-time obedience. Now, let me just quick time out. Moms and dads with teenagers, because you're like, yeah, right. You're smoking crack. I get it. Okay, so start small. Start small. Right? If you've said that your child can do something after they do this at home, and they haven't done this at home, and they think, I can just do it later, no, you're not going. Sorry. I hate you. Good. I'm doing a great job. Awesome. Right? Start small. And I could pull my son up right now, and he would say, this doesn't work all the time in my house. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. He knows. He does. He could come up here, and he would not deny that we work on this, man. This is the big deal. You go out of bounds, I'm throwing a flag, and you're going to get a consequence. And the bigger the penalty, the bigger the consequence. He'll come up here and tell you that. So here's another way that you can start, okay? I'm almost done. All right, that's just to give you a little bit of hint with your kids now, okay? If those of you that are parents of younger kids, gosh, you've got more time on your hands, and you can start doing that right now, okay? All right, but most definitely, here's where you can start. Moms and dads, listen to me. All right, moms and dads, the change starts with you. Change starts with you. What do you mean by that, Josh? Ask yourself honestly this question today. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the consequences of getting spankings from him when you're not obeying him? Because you're going to have a hard time translating this to your kids if you don't fear getting consequences from God yourself. You will. And just to kind of throw a little bit of extra gas on the fire, do you fear getting a spanking for not instilling honor within your kids, which you are commanded to do? The concept of offensive parenting, this one, starts with you, moms and dad. I've often said it with baby dedication. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart on it. I always ask parents now, are you on that road too? You need to make sure you're on that road if you want to attempt to train them up in the way they should go. Are you on that road too? If you can't fear the Lord yourself, moms and dads, it doesn't matter how old your kids are. You can't win and you won't win. Fact. Guaranteed. It starts with you. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Couple takeaways, take homes for us today. Do you fear the Lord, mom? Do you fear the Lord, dad? If you don't, then maybe, just maybe, you're starting to understand why your kids don't fear you. So here's the great news. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The lights are going to go off in just a minute. You can change that in your life. You can change the way you're parenting. It's not too late. It's never too late. You can change the trajectory of this way of offensively parenting in the area of teaching honor with your kids. Here's my challenge for you today. Start honoring God today, personally. Then start instilling honor in your kids the next time. The next time, don't keep waiting. The next time the opportunity presents itself. So here's kind of my challenge for you today. Moms and dads, I'm kind of giving you different things each week. Here's my challenge for you today at our What's Next moment when we sing this song. I'm going to challenge every mom and dad today to come forward, to kneel at the altar, and I don't want you to pray for your kids generally. I want you to pray for each of your children by name today. I want you to call out to God by name each and every one of your children, asking you, because chances are all your kids are different, and you need help in teaching honor to each of them in a different way. So you come forward today and you pray for your kids by name at the altar and ask God to get involved with you in offensively parenting your kids and teaching them honor. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share truth today. Thank you for smacking me in the face and preparing this message and getting ready to speak it and helping me understand where I'm just not that good at this area or that area or those areas and how you're teaching me throughout this series. I love my kids. I'm praying by name right now publicly for my son Isaac, for my son Caleb, and for my daughter Cheris. Help me, God, be the God-fearing parent in their life, teaching them what honor is like. I love you, Jesus. I praise you in your son's precious and holy, holy name. And all God's people said,